We're in, we're finishing up chapter 11. Is that right? Let me get over here. Make sure I'm saying it right. Yeah, we're in chapter 11. So we looked at, and if you've taken notes, we've been trying to get you to understand that names used to mean something. I just gave this morning the gospel messages even contained here from Adam to Noah. You can find the gospel message in the names of those men from Adam to Noah. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahula, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And when you combine their names, it means a man appointed moral sorrow. The blessed God shall come down, teaching. His death shall bring the despairing, but it also brings comfort or rest. And so those are some important names, because now as we're getting into chapter 11, and we began last week into chapter 11, we'll quickly review the names of those that come off the ark. We've got Noah, that meant comfort or rest, but now Shem just means name or renowned. And it's kind of, that's exactly what happens now. They come off the ark. It's about less than 350 years, I think, is what they estimate. Let's see, I got here, if I can find it again. I think it was 350 years from, well, it has to be less than that. It is about, it's less than that, yeah. From creation to the Tower of Babel is about 1,750 years. So when God created the world, we believe the world's 6,000 years old. From the time God created the world till the Tower of Babel is 1,750 years. So after the flood, it's 100 years, about 100 years after the flood till they build the Tower of Babel. It's only the grandson of Noah, grandson of Noah, Ham comes through the flood, and then great-grandson, Ham begets Cush, and then Cush begets Nimrod. And so Nimrod is the great-grandson of Noah, who comes off the flood, and comes off of the ark through the flood, and he's the one that we give that a lot of people attribute most modern religions come out of Babylonian worship. Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And when you look at that into the Hebrew, you'll find out what it means is basically Nimrod had made a game of hunting God's creatures. When it says that Nimrod became was a mighty hunter before the Lord, when you look at that, it means basically he had made a game of the hunting. He was purposely hunting down. People ask, why don't we have dinosaurs? Because of men like Nimrod. The first thing that man does when he moves into an area is hunt the biggest thing. Why? Who wants to run around shooting rabbits, a bunch of rabbits to feed your family, when you can shoot one deer? Who wants to shoot one or two deer to feed your family when you can shoot one buffalo? And what happened, even here in the Midwest, they almost hunted buffalo to extinction. Same thing. It's only been 100 years after the flood or so. So dinosaurs and that did not have a lot of time to reproduce. By the way, when you look into the book of Job, most modern theologians of the Bible believe that when you read the book of Job, you'll see the ice age. Most likely what happens once all the catastrophe happens of the flood, the great deep being broke up, mountains begin to rise, volcanoes are erupting, and so because of all that, you're going to have an ice age. And that's why even Job says, consider the majesty of the snow. God had revealed to Job. Job didn't have microscopes. Job didn't have the things that we had, but yet God revealed to Job that the snowflakes are, every one of them is different. No two snowflakes, they say, are alike. What a great thought when you think about that. And so there, here, then in verse 10, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. The word Babel means confusion. That's what the word Babel means. And we talked about last week how that it's not a coincidence that they named that app where they try to teach you different languages. It's not a coincidence that they named that app Babel. They did that on purpose. And one of the other things I also said, and I want to make sure clear, God did not necessarily, and I may have said a little wrong last week, but when at the Tower of Babel, God confuses the language, confounds the languages, possibly up to 70 different languages if it's according to each of the family names. At the day of Pentecost, God showed that he could undo what he did in a moment's notice. Every man heard in his own language. And I said that, you know, God did undo it. He partially undid it. He revealed to them. He didn't fully undo it. We don't still have that ability in our day and time. God could still give it, but I don't believe we still have that necessarily that ability as what they did speaking in tongues. The speaking in tongues was, if you were here tonight, and Miss Jennifer's descendants, part of her family, was from Puerto Rico. What it would be was, if she was from Puerto Rico, if let's say that was a tribe, somebody from over here that was from a Native American tribe, and somebody up from over here that was from Africa. What it was is when they spoke, whatever, they would speak in Hebrew or Greek, whatever the preacher preached in, and every man heard in their own language. That was the speaking of tongues. And that's what they said. They said, how hear we every man in our own language? That was the tongues that was given at the day of Pentecost. And so here now, in this chapter 10, or I forget, Shem means name or renowned. His son, Arphax, Arphat, means a healer or a releaser. Shelah, which is his son, means to send out or be sent out. Eber means one who crossed over. The word Hebrew means of Eber. My personal opinion, again, and this is my personal opinion, I believe God calls out Abraham. I believe God was even working, when you read these names, I believe God may have been even working on some of Abraham's earlier fathers, because Eber means one who crossed over. The word Hebrew comes from of Eber. Peleg means to divide. And that's what God did. So here we are now, chapter 11. And we're going to skip back over this. We went through it the first part last week, but I'm going to skip through it real quick. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And the word language there means the lips. The speech actually has to do with the manners, meaning they all had the same manners. They all had basically the same answers. They all had the same mind. There was no real thinking, which is what, you know, communism basically wants. They all want you to think alike. They all want you to act alike. We believe that people are individuals. I believe that everybody brings something. Even somebody that may be handicapped can still bring something to the table and teach us something. Teach us how to love one another. But it says they were of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone, and slime that they had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. By the way, that word name is also the same word in the Hebrew as Shem. What I believe is they were saying, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah, they've got a name for themselves. They came through the flood. Well, we want a name for ourselves. We want to make something for ourselves. There's a lot of men, there's a lot of men in the ministry, they don't want to take a church. They want to build their own church. That's why we have, in the South, that's why we have so many churches throughout the South, people didn't want to take a church because they didn't want to be, I want my own name. I want to make a name for myself. That's why we have so many denominations and splits and stuff, because people want their way. People want to make their name. Nobody wants to take a church and that's already existing. And unfortunately, I talked about it, where Brother Shepherd's from, Wilkes County. Wilkes County alone, according to those that have counted, Wilkes County alone, North Carolina, last I remember, I think there's 60,000 people, or it was 60 or 80,000 people in Wilkes County. There's over 250 Baptist churches in Wilkes County. That's one church for every, whenever it did it before, it was like one church for every 800 people. Just Baptist churches in Wilkes County. I'm glad I stand on the Bible, but we have entirely too many people that want to make a name for themselves and not a name for God. I love Brother Lester Roloff. Brother Lester Roloff, he had the Roloff homes and things like that, but when he went on the radio, he had a name. He called his program the Family Altar. Was Family Altar Hour, I think, or something was the name of his program. Brother Oliver Green, same thing. He did not use his name for the ministry online, but a lot of people, it's all about my name and making a name for them. So that's exactly what these people were doing. And like I said, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of churches that are sitting vacant. A lot of churches with a handful of people that would love to have a pastor. But because so many people, I don't want to do that. I want to build my own name. I want to build my own work. We shouldn't be like that. I'm glad that we had a building we were able to walk into. I wish that there would have been already a little church established that we could have just came in and had a handful of people to start. Because starting from scratch ain't all it's cracked up to be. I can tell you that right now. But that's exactly, they said, let us make a name. And that name there is the same thing. The same word here for making a name is the same word used for sham. They wanted to make a name for themselves, not a name for God. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. By the way, when they came off of the ark, God told them to go forth and replenish the earth. He didn't tell them to go forth and stay in one place. That's why God does at this point end up scattering them. What we just talked about it with New York City and all these cities. What do you see? When man groups together, you see what? A lot of corruption, a lot of crime, a lot of pride. Man has built these great skyscrapers and I've worked in some buildings. I've not worked in any as tall as what's in New York, but I have worked in the building actually that the Empire State Building is modeled after. It's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The building that the Empire State Building is modeled after is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I've worked in that building. It's, I think, 28 floors. I didn't go all the way up. They were actually getting it ready to be sold. There wasn't much of anything in the building, and it was dark, and it's not exactly the place that you wanted to be alone in, because it's an old creeping building and makes a lot of noises and it's easy to scare people. But those people, they want to make a name for themselves. Donald Trump, I support the president. Whether you like him or not, that's okay. I understand why. I understand why some people don't like him. Donald Trump has set about to make a name for himself. I do not believe that Donald Trump is saved. He can claim to be a Christian, but I do not. He's got too much pride. He's not humbled himself one bit. I just don't believe he's saved. We'll find out one way or another. I pray for the man and pray hope he is saved. Or if he's not, then he will get saved. But Donald Trump is all about the Trump brand. He's all about selling something with the name Trump on it. I'm not going to sell you nothing. Well, we give away. I just told y'all this morning, I'm not going to put my name in these Bibles so that you carry around this Bible. If you need a Bible, by the way, we got some new ones that came in. I'm not going to put my name on this Bible, so you can carry around a Bible with my name the rest of your life. We got also some, if you need some notebooks, these will also give to crayons for Donovan if he needs some crayons. But we try to make as much available here because I want you to have everything you can to study that Bible. Why? Because I think if you'll study it, you'll understand it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. They were trying to make a name for themselves. So I got to move on. Lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men did men build it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. God understood that when man is of one language, when man is of one thing, the corruption that happens. He said, now go to, let us. By the way, there's your verse. If you underline, highlight, here's proof in the Old Testament of the Trinity. People will say, there's no proof in the Old Testament of the Trinity. What'd God say? God said, go to, let us. Who's God talking to? The angels? No, He's talking to Jesus. Let us go down. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, which means confusion, because the Lord did there confound their the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That word scatter in the Strong's actually gives the insinuation to dash, to break in pieces. That's what God basically is saying. He scattered them. He broke the back of them and separated them. Now again, chapter 10, chronologically, actually part of it would be after chapter 11, when God talks about in chapter 10, the different heads of the household. Most men believe that this is out of the languages, how that God, there's 70 men mentioned here. So possibility of up to 70 different languages come out of Babel here. And so now, verse 10, now we're getting into the last part of this. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So within 2 years, he has this one. This does not mean that he didn't have another one before. This does not mean he doesn't have more after. Matter of fact, it tells us he has some after. It just says that 2 years after the flood. Because what is God doing? God is narrowing down. He's kind of give the first 10, 11 chapters of the Bible. He gives an overview of the entire human race. But from 12 forward, he narrows in on one man. He narrows in on Abram and goes forward with Abram from that point forward. Because God narrows it down. Of all the human race, of all the humans on the earth, God chose Abraham. And again, it may be that even here in some of these names, God may have been even working before this on some of these others, but we don't know. We know specifically that Abraham listened to the call. Shem after he begot Arphaxad 500 years and begot sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begot Salem. Salem means to send out or to be sent out. Arphaxad lived after he begot Salem 403 years and begot sons and daughters. And Salem lived 30 years and begot Eber. Eber means one who crossed over. And Salem lived after he begot Eber 403 years and begot sons and daughters. And again, the word Hebrew means of Eber. And so that's why it's a possibility at that point. Eber lived 430 years and begot Peleg. Peleg means to divide. Also can mean earthquake. Peleg lived after he begot Eber lived after he begot Peleg 430 years and begot sons and daughters. I don't know how many, but I know that years ago it was not uncommon, especially here in the Midwest, for women to have 12 to 15. How many brothers and sisters you got, brother? How many is all of y'all?
Seven.
Yours is a small one.
My cousin,
15. I knew somebody in your family did. Miss Daylene, yours is just a few, but How many did you, brothers and sisters, did you have?
There was four of us.
Four of you, but didn't you, one of your cousins or something, somebody in your family have?
My grandmother had 11.
And I know my dad, he comes from six, but his grandpa or grandma, which one came from, what, nine? Eight? How many would you? Both of them. Both of his grandparents came from that many. So you can imagine if somebody lived and was healthy 400, 300 years, I mean, 20 to 30 kids would be nothing, that not that big of a deal. The wife would probably be ready to kill the husband by then, but hey, you know. The house here had 18. Baskels here, okay, had 18. And so, you know, you can imagine that if these people are living, Peleg, let's see, here it goes in verse 18, Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. Reu means friend. And Peleg lived after he begot Reu 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 2 and 30 years and begot Serug. By the way, this is not saying that they didn't have children before these either. He's just saying that he is following this one lineage. When it says Reu lived 30 and 2 years and begot Serug, it's not saying that he didn't have, him and his wife didn't have children before. It's just saying this is the lineage that God is following to get to Abraham. So even before that, they could have had some, because you know, some of them, they lived 100 and something years before they had a child. Does that mean they didn't have none before that? No. It means that this is the one that God's following. God follows the lineage of Abraham through Seth, through all these, all the way down to Abraham, Isaac. And God, remember, after God gets to Isaac, then there's Jacob and Esau. God mentions Esau, but then Ishmael and even Esau are both cast to the side. It's not that God didn't love them, but God is specifically following to get the lineage of Christ. That's why he's fallen. God could write a book right now with everybody that's ever lived to give us every single name. I hope that I'm not the instrument that God used to write that book, because that would be one extensive book. But I'm just saying, God did this. He lived 2 and 30 years. Verse 21, Reu lived after he begot Serug. The word Serug means tendril, which is a tendril, which is a clasp. Or a clasper. It's one of those things that you use to hold up a vine, a climbing vine. That's what that's what his name meant. I don't know why that was significant, but that's what they named him. He lived after he begot Serug 207 years and begot sons and daughters. And you also notice that the age begins to go back and walk less and less. I believe a lot of that has to do with the more sin that is committed, the more sin that's in the world, the shorter our lifespan is. You could, there was a time, I understand, even in America, there was times when our lives were shorter because of, and modern medicine has extended it. But here we are in Rush County, and not picking on Rush County, but this is where we live. And since we've lived here, we have seen several 50-year-old men that have worked in the fields die from cancer. We just talked about several here that have died the last few weeks in their 60s. Life is getting shorter again. Why? Because sin is getting more rampant. So Peleg lived 30 years and got Nahor. Nahor, y'all are going to love this one. Nahor means snorer. So you ladies can, some of y'all ladies can call your husband, Nahor, and that nobody else will get the joke, but you'll get it. So Nahor means snorer. And again, I think God may have been working on some of Abraham's lineage, hearing some of these names. Snorer means what? Somebody sleeping. Maybe God was working on Nahor to get him to leave and separate him, but he wouldn't. He was a snorer. He that's what his name meant. Verse 23. Serug lived after he begot Nahor 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begot Terah. Terah means breather, delay, or wanderer. Somebody that wanders. Again, all these point, I think, to the fact that God was working even then to separate these men for his purpose, but Abraham's the one that listened. God wanted to use Eli. God wanted to use Eli's kids, but they didn't listen. Who listened? Samuel. So it passed from Eli to Samuel. Samuel's kids listen? No. If you don't do what God wants you to do, God will give you a chance. But if you don't do what you're supposed to, God will get somebody else. I'd hate to get to heaven and know that I missed out on the blessings of God because I wouldn't do the service of God or the will of God. Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begot Terah. Terah means a breather or delay or a wanderer. Nahor lived after he begot Terah 119 years and begot sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor. So once again, somebody else names him Nahor, and Haran. The word Abram means high father. Abraham's name meant high father, which is ironic because what? He didn't become a father till later in his age, which some of these didn't. But Abram, we know, according to the Bible, Abram didn't have a kid till he begot Ishmael of, it went right out of my mind. What's her name? Hagar. I kept saying I'm going to say with an N. Hagar, the Egyptian. And so these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Sarai, by the way, this is why God had to change her name. Does anybody know what Sarai's name means? Domative. She was a dominating. Domative, which means dominating or governing. She was the one in charge early on. That's not hard to see, is it? What did she do that was against the will of God? She got impatient. Said, well, I can't have kids, Abram. I'm tired of waiting on God. Here, I want you to take my Egyptian handmaid. And boy, we're reaping the repercussions for that all these years later. That's what Sarah. That's why God eventually changes her name to Sarah. Does anybody know what Sarah means? Sarah's a popular girl's name, or used to be. It's not as popular as it used to be. Anybody know what it means? It means female noble, mother of nations, or mother of multitudes. Abraham. Do anybody know what Abraham, his name gets changed as well. His is high father. His gets changed to Abraham, which means? Not father of all living. Father of many or father of multitudes or nations. And that's why God eventually changes their name. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. And the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren and had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 200 years and 5 years, and Terah died in Haran. And you'll notice in the next chapter, he did not go far enough. Again, this is why I believe that God was calling earlier, but Abram's finally the one that listened, because in the next one, what does he say? Now after his father's dead, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. So Terah didn't go far enough. He went out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went under Haran, but he did not go far enough over to where God wanted Abraham at. And Abraham eventually is the one that surrenders and comes to that. I know maybe that don't do something for y'all, but I like learning that. I like to know what these names mean. And again, if you want some of them, I can give you You can come look at my Bible, or you can look it up yourself, but it's good to know those things. Again, that shirug meant a tendril, which means a clasp. He meant something that holds on. So he may have been one of them that was, again, holding on when God was telling him, I want you to get away from these people. I want you to separate. Remember, there's another place in the Bible. Exodus 32. What happens in Exodus 32? Don't look there. You should know. Exodus 32 is one of the most powerful things that happens in the Bible. Who's on the Lord's side? The children of Israel sinned, a great sin. And God said to Moses, let me alone that my anger may wax hot against thy people, and I will consume them, and I'll make of thee. God was willing to wipe out 2 million Jews, possibly 2 million Hebrews, and start all over again with Moses. And it is the only place in your Bible, the only place in your Bible that we don't know the prayer of the man of God. If you'll look in your King James Bible, you'll find a dash in Exodus 32. There's a dash there. Moses begins to pray, and whatever he prays and stands in the gap between God and the children of Israel, we don't know what his prayer is, but it was powerful enough that God stopped what he was going to do. There's a dash in there in Exodus 32 where Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. So don't tell me, hey, if God was willing to wipe them out and Moses stood in the gap, you and I can certainly stand in the gap for America in our day and time. It's not even to that far yet. These people, and this is how wicked God, they saw the 10 plagues of Egypt. They saw how God brought Egypt down to its knees and destroyed them. They stood there at the Red Sea and watched God split open the Red Sea by a mighty wind and walked over on dry land. They saw all that and a few other things that happened on the other side. They waited 400 years between the time of Abraham to the time of being set free. Over 400 years to be set free. They couldn't wait 40 days. 40 days Moses is up there on the mount. 40 days Moses is up there getting the law from God. And in 40 days they said to Aaron, get up and make us a God. For as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. And they take off all the gold, and they give Aaron all the gold. And gold, Aaron makes a golden calf. And Aaron says, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of Egypt. These creations, these gods of gold I just made is what brought. That's the human heart. That is the human heart right there. God did. For the life of me, I can't understand it. Can you imagine this daily seeing the darkness? The Bible talks about the darkness for 3 days that could be felt. Watching hail fall from the sky and fire. To watching the flies and the lice and the water turn to blood. Then watching after all that the Red Sea be split open. And walking across by God's deliverance. Only to get to the mountain and wait 40 days and couldn't wait anymore. And to make gods of gold and bow down and worship to them and did all kinds of immoral things, the Bible says. And Moses comes down from the mount after he's pled with God for the children of Israel. He says, let me handle this. And he says, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. He drew a line in the sand and he said, all the sons of Levi are the ones that came to Moses. And they stood on, and he said, I want you to go in and out the gate and slay every man his brother and every man his companion. Anybody that you see, that I don't care if they're your family, I don't care if it's your own spouse, if they've got in there and they've committed that sin of worshiping that idol and that fornication, adultery is going on, I want you to kill every one of them. The Bible says the children of Israel went out. See, a lot of people, they like pointing out how those nations went. They went out and wiped out all those other nations, but they forget that God even wiped out Israel a couple times because of their sin. But God's still long-suffering in 2025. God's still willing to save you. You may think, I've never bowed down to an idol. You don't have to bow down to an idol to be lost. The Bible says in the book of James, if we've committed just one, if we've broken the law in just one point, we're just as guilty as all those people. If you've told one lie, you're just as guilty as those children of Israel standing there worshiping that idol. If you've stolen one thing, you're just as guilty. And that's why Jesus Christ died for our sins. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good and that seeketh God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus Christ, that's why we're tracing His lineage from Abraham, from Adam to Abraham to David to all these, so that we know for a fact that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, but that He also came through the lineage of Jesus, through the lineage of David, so that He fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, that He and He alone was worthy to die for our sins. Do you know Him tonight? If not, you can if you'll come to this altar. Let's stand. Father, we thank You for the day that You made. Lord, I do pray for a touch once again to help my throat, but I thank You for being able to declare Your word. If there's one tonight that is not saved, may they come to this altar and call on the name of the Lord. Lord, we are just as guilty as those people that stood there at the Tower of Babel. We are just as guilty as the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and done all those sins. We're just as guilty as those that stood there that day crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him. We're just as guilty as those Roman soldiers that drove the nails into His hands and His feet. Lord, there's none of us worthy. If there's one here tonight that You've spoken to that needs to be saved, may they come tonight in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.